We're still obviously working on our discipleship, and we probably won't get through all of our discipleship training for a year or so, because it takes a long time to be a disciple. Lots to learn, right? But I think not next week, the week after that's Palm Sunday, is that right? Not next week, there'll be more of me, discipleship training. Then the following Sunday will be Pastor Ed bringing a study in the crucifixion of the Lord. We know that... You know, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, but we all know you can't have a resurrection unless you had a what? Crucifixion. And, you know, on Good Friday, I've been kind of telling you about this without telling you too much. You know, we're going to, you know, bring a Good Friday service on hell. And if I said to you, why did Jesus die? What would you say?
For our sins.
For our sins. Almost everybody will say that, right? But that's only entirely true. There's some more he saved you from, too, isn't there? Right, Pastor Colin? It's not just your sins. It's what? Hell. He saved you from hell. I didn't say, don't like to talk about that, right? He saved me from my what? My sin. That sounds romantic. And, you know, godly. But he saved you from the pits of hell. Did you know that? That's what he saved you from. He saved you from the consequences of your sin. He didn't just save you from your sin. He saved you from the consequences of your sin, which is what? Hell. And hell is not pretty. And neither is the crucifixion. We like to skim over it, right? Yeah, he died. Okay, yeah, he is Lord. He is Lord. We forgot that part, right? Jesus Christ is risen today. Don't we love that stuff? He lives, he lives. Yeah, put the tulips out. But before he did that, he was broken and pierced and beat. How many know that too? We're going to talk about that on Palm Sunday. You're going to get an image of what he did. And Good Friday, you're going to get an image of where you should probably be had he not did what he did. Oh, but Pastor Tom, where's the tulips? Where's the eggs? You'll get the kids get to find them. No, we're going to talk about hell. And see, the whole purpose of this is to save your kids from hell. You can talk about the Easter Bunny all you want, but we're going to talk about hell. How many understand that? We're going to do that. And on Palm Sunday, you're going to get, and I've heard this before, and I think you told me you've expanded this, you're going to get an idea of what it meant to be crucified. I mean, you don't know. It's not that guy on the silver little cross you hang on your neck. Right? It's a human being who was tortured. And we're going to talk about that. So, let's get our Bibles out as we continue in our discipleship training. Now, I told you and I've been telling you that, you know, once we have salvation, we're supposed to work it out. And with what? Fear and trembling. And I gave you a whole bunch of lessons as far as where do you get this power from, and how do you call upon the power? I mean, how do you get this? But then we have an admonition about how we should work. And we talked a little bit about that last week. We'll talk a little bit more about that. And one of my very good friends had come to me during the week, and this friend had said to me, boy, did anybody come up to you and say, boy, that was for me? That argument and grumbling and murmuring. A good friend of mine said to me, did anybody come up to you and say that was for me? Well, several did. Several did. And so we're going to continue with that lesson on working out your salvation, calling upon the power of the Lord, but without what?
Grumbling.
How many know how to grumble? Don't we love to grumble sometimes? Fact is, I truly know people that I work with, not employees, but that's not true either. Some employees, a lot of participants who, if they didn't have anything to complain about, they'd have nothing at all. How many understand that? Misery is their best company. If you took away all their misery, they'd have no reason to live. How many understand that? I mean, I really want to come in and I just want to complain, but if I didn't complain, there'd be nothing worthwhile to do. There's just no joy in their life. It's just all. How many know people like that? Just, the world is just terrible. Did you know the Pope resigned? Life is going to come to an end. Oh my God, what am I going to do now? The first time in 600 years. Well, they're going to pick another one. Yeah, but no, they're going to pick another one. How many know that's what they're going to do? I mean, they really are. Like they've been doing for 600 years. And the smoke's going to come up in the chimney, right? And the bell's going to ding, ding, ding. They got a new pope. Everything's fine. But there are so many things that just preoccupy people's minds. And so we have to continue talking about this in our discipleship training. Therefore, you're going to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 13, verses 5 to 6.
Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
Let your conduct be done. Let everything that you do be done with thanksgiving. I mean real, genuine thanksgiving. Is anybody here really, truly, now don't, everybody, this is one of those questions everybody's going to say, oh yes, oh me, it's me, it's me. How many are blessed here? Oh yes, it's me, it's me. It's just one of those questions I knew the answer to. But the reality is, how many of you at certain times do not feel quite as blessed as you now said that you do? Well, that's something. You see, during those times that you don't feel quite as blessed as you now went, ta-da! In those times that you don't feel quite as blessed, guess what you might have the propensity to do? Murmur. And groan. And whine. And so we all agree that there are at least moments in our lives, is there not, that you don't feel quite as blessed. How many agree with that statement? Well, then there could be times in your life that during those times, somebody might ask you to do something, you might get a little murmur going on. Right? So therefore, there are times in all of our lives that we might have a little whining thing going on. Is that not true? And so the trick is, well, how can you feel blessed all the time and not just most of the time? And you all agreed with me by saying this to me like this. How many know that dog in the 57 window of a Chevy goes like this? Do you know they had bobbleheads before they had the bobbleheads, didn't they? You had one of those, didn't you? And who had the dice and the little dog thing going on? And the reality of it is that during those times, even within us, we don't feel blessed 100% of the time because you all did this to me. So therefore, whatever percentage of time that you don't feel blessed could be the time that you might get a little what? A little murmuring going on. So the question that we need to ask is, well, why don't you feel blessed all the time? What's going on in your life that causes you to sometimes feel not blessed? Is it things that you did not receive? Is it trials that came upon you? Is it health issues? What is it that causes you in those times to feel not blessed? You have to ask it of yourselves because everybody said there were times I don't feel blessed. So what is that thing or things that came upon you that made you not feel blessed? That's a fair question, right? And so therefore, you must concentrate on something or, of course, somebody who's always going to be there 100% of the time through thick and thin, and that person is who? Jesus Christ, who said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I will be with you until the ends of the age. True? And so, if there are times that we do feel sometimes not quite as blessed, you need to understand that's the time that you need to most feel blessed. It's during the time you feel least blessed. Does that make sense? How many get trials and tribulations in the room from time to time? Well, ain't that something? So during those trials and tribulations may just be the perfect time for you to feel a little murmuring thing going on, right? And so we have to understand ourselves that everybody has the potential to get a little wine. Just add some cheese to it, right? Let's turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure.
Mm-mm-mm. For it is God who works through you to do what? His good pleasure. And there lies another part of the equation that causes us problems. See, I would like for him to work through me to do my good pleasure. How many like that equation? Wouldn't that be great? For the call upon the power of the Most High God to work through me for my pleasure. Oh, yippee-skippee, life is great. But that's not the way it works. How many of you at least one time got up in the morning, you had a flat tire, and you started a little whining going on? Right? You got to say, oh, gee, look at this. Of course, I got a 2007 Acura Integra. But look at that tire. You know, people are walking because they haven't got a car. And I don't do a little moaning because I got a flat tire. Really? Really? But you don't understand, Pastor Tom, how inconvenienced I am. I'm going to be late for work. Oh, you got a job, do you? Well, that's pretty cool. You got a job. Yeah, but you don't understand. Well, don't I understand? I'm going to be late. Late for what? Well, why don't you call him? Well, I don't have a number on my cell. Oh, you got a cell phone too? Wow, ain't that slick? You got a car, you got a job, and you got a cell phone. What's your problem again? But you don't understand. I had to take one of my days off. Oh, you got days off too? Well, that's pretty slick. I bet you got insurance. Of course I got insurance. Really? I'm going to have to call AAA. Oh, you got AAA too? You mean you're going to sit in there, have a cup of coffee when some dude comes out with the overhauls and changes the tire for you so you can go to the job that you got? Whoa, life was terrible. I feel so sorry for you. How many understand that's the way this works in life, right? You don't understand. I drove to work and my parking spot was taken. I had to walk. Like, how far do you have to walk? 10 more feet. Really? How many understand what I'm telling you? Really? Really? That's your problem? Really? You don't understand, Pastor Thumb. You don't understand. I wanted to cut the grass on Saturday. Now I can't, 'cause my lawnmower's broke. Oh, you got a grass? You got a house? Yeah. But I can't cut the grass. I feel so sorry for you. How many know there are people sleeping in the grass? How many know that too, right? There are people sleeping near the parking spot that you didn't get. Is that true? I feel so sorry for you and your problems. We all got to understand how blessed we are. Who in this room could really truly say, if you don't do one more thing, you've done plenty already? I mean, really, you've done plenty already. Really. We are, you know what, I'm 51 years old now, Shauna. Shh, 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 shh. Shauna, remember you're 21, right? Shauna's going, huh? And the reality of it is, however many years I got left, do I really think I'm going to get through the rest of my life without any more trials? Do you really think that? How many know more trials are coming to your house? If you don't think that by now, you better grow up. Because there's a truck with your name on it, it's got trials, and it's coming to your house. And you better get prayed up and faithed up, because it's coming. And that's not the time to go wah, wah, wah. That's the time to roll your sleeves up and let's get to work. Is that not true? That's the time to really buck down and get to work. Is it fair to assume that God never promised us an easy life? Yes. And it's fair, right? He didn't say bed of roses, did he? In fact, I think he said about something about men will work with thorns and thistles. Something, I know that's in the Bible somewhere. Something about laboring all the days of their life. Isn't that? Glenn, that is Glenn, right? It's in there, right, Glenn? Men will work through the sweat of their brow. That's in there, right? But you don't understand, Pastor Tom. My tractor's not working. I have to throw that in. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12.
Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
Oh. When we are called to do something for the Lord, you have to do it with thanksgiving in your heart. But you don't understand, Pastor Tom. You don't understand. What don't I understand? What is it I'm not getting that you need to tell me? Well, my 401k is now down to a 20.5B. Half of what I saved is gone. Well, you got half left? That's pretty good. I know people eating down the Light of Life mission because they ain't got enough money at all. Life is good, isn't it? But you don't understand. I planned on retiring on Easy Street. Do you know? Well, there are people living on Easy Street. Isn't that not true? And Glenn might say, my tractor broke, Dad. And it did. He can borrow my tractor any day. Put it in the trunk of your car. Take it to your house. And so what we got to understand is this, is that we need to fully grasp a hold of something that we got that you're going to get. It says that we are going to share in an inheritance. Inheritance of what? Who said that? Chrissy said eternal life. Pretty cool. But everything that Jesus gets, guess what? I get. Wow. Think about that. Everything that my brother Jesus gets, guess what? My daddy in heaven's going to what? Give it also to me. I don't care if they take my 401k. I really could care. Because guess why? I ain't taking them with me. No, really. I'm not taking them with me. How many are taking yours with you? It's not going. It's not going. It really isn't. And, you know, some people say to me, Pastor Tom, you know, next year you could probably start collecting Social Security. I probably could. I'm thinking about it. And I'm thinking about it. Because you don't know how long you're going to live, right? But then why are you worried about it? How many know you could collect 1 month and go home? I mean, you really could. Couldn't you? You really, truly could. And so one of the ways that we need to plan our lives for discipleship is this. We don't plan on the next 20 years. We don't plan on the next 30 years. Scripture says pretty clearly in the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 6, verses 23 to 32, it says, why are you worried about tomorrow? Today has got enough problems of its own. How many understand that? You know what? I'm really not concerned about tomorrow. I got to get what? Through today. And you know what? I'm going to live my life like this is the last day that I got. I'm serious. I'm going to get all the life I can out of this day. Pastor thought, why do you do so much? Well, why don't you do anything?
Amen.
I'm being serious now. Pastor Tom, why do you do so much? Well, why don't you do something? I mean, you sleep 8 hours. I'm trying to get away with 6. That means you got how many hours left? 18. You knew that right away, right? 18 and 6, 24. If you can live every minute of the day doing something, how many be better off for that, right? How many know when you sit around all by yourself, you got problems? Because it's coming. It is really coming. And so what we got to learn to do is we got to learn to say, okay, I have this inheritance waiting for me in heaven. The same thing Jesus gets, I get, my future is secure. How many got a future secure? I mean, I really do. So the question that needs to be asked is, are you going to store up all your junk down here or store up all your treasures up there? You decide. Store all your junk down here where you're not taking it, or store up all the things you're going to have for the rest of eternity. How many understand there's a big difference between those things, right? Oh, I can't wait there for Jesus to show me my house. Really? Whew. How many are working towards that too? That's the thing you need to remember. How many know when you get there, you will be rewarded for the things you do here? Scripture says, every man will give an account for what he has done. True? We'll give an account for, Pastor Colin, check me out, right? For what you've done here, you will give an account. Right? That doesn't mean saved or not saved. It means saved and then what you get. I don't know what that is up there, but I bet it's better than you get at Walmart. I'm serious. I bet you it's better than Amazon.com. Whatever it is I'm going to get, I want it. How many want it too? I mean, I really do. Why do you store up your treasures here on earth when moths can come and just eat it away? And it just fades and breaks and rusts and corrodes. How many want that incorruptible treasure in heaven? Ooh, me too. I turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7.
As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving.
So how you have received him, walk with him in the same measure. That's an interesting passage of scripture. How did you receive him? Maybe you received him with this mindset. You know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Maybe that's how you received him, you know? Like, you know, away in a manger kind of thing. No, I received him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I received him in my heart that I can do what kind of things? All things. And so how you have received him, walk in him. If you received him knowing that he is Lord of your life and that with him in your heart you can do all things, then you should start living a life like that. Shouldn't you? I mean, how many believe that you can do all things through Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Now, see, that's just one of those questions. See, I know it. But the question is, who really believes it? Now, I will know me, not as a pastor, not as a seminarian, none of that goofy stuff. I will know whether or not you truly believe that based upon what? How you live your life. I'll know right away. I will know. If you say to me, well, I can't do that. Problem number one surfaces in my mind. I go to myself, well, wait a second. Didn't you just tell me like 2 minutes ago you could do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you? Didn't you just say that? And didn't you tell me that Jesus Christ is in your life because you accepted him as Lord and Savior? Didn't you tell me that? And now you're telling me what? Now that, see, I'm not the brightest one here. I know that. Ed's much brighter than me. But I know there's a problem with that sentence. Now how many grasp that too? Now let's go back and rehearse that one more time. Well, Pastor Tom, I have Jesus in my life. Oh, praise the Lord, Jesus is in my life. I accepted him on June the 2nd, 2010. And he came into my life at the altar call. Oh, I felt the tingling, warm sensation all over my body. They gave me a certificate and envelopes and everything. And I know the scripture says I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened me, but I can't do that. We got a problem. How many know we already got a problem? If you just got done saying to me, I can do all things, but then you say, but I can't do that, we got a problem. And the problem is twofold. One, either Jesus can't do all things like he said he could, therefore he's not Jesus. How many understand that? Because scripture just told a lie on itself. It just lied. I can do all things, but yet you're telling me you can't do that thing. Oh, we got a problem. Can I see your instruction manual for life? The instruction manual for life says that, well, then this must not be true. Because if you're telling me you can't do something, then this is a lie. How many understand that? Or, well, I don't want to talk about that second thing. No, I can't. Okay, you lied. He told me to do it. Either that's a lie, or what? You are. One or the other. You cannot go down the middle. Today I am, tomorrow I'm not. Today I am, tomorrow I'm not. Ooh, that's bad. What can happen until you get caught in the middle? Help me understand this. At least, come to grips with what you're saying. You need to go back to Christianity 101 and say, wait a second. Am I living my life according to what that says? Who here in this room can do all things through Jesus Christ? I'm not even saying I can. Well, Pastor Tom, you're just stuck on yourself. You think you're just the greatest thing, don't you? Well, no. But he is. And not for my glory, but for who? His glory. Glenn, right?
Yes.
Glenn came up to me right over there where Leonard was and said, hey, you were just talking about that tenth thing, that revival. I said, yeah, I was. He said, you want to do a revival service? And I said, sure, when? Didn't I say that?
Yes, you did.
He said, June 2nd, I'll come there. But you didn't do any planning yet. I don't need to. You know why? He did it. Or he went and asked me. I just said it, and he planted, and he grew it, and he said, you want to do it? I said, what? Sure, when? Didn't I? Do you live your life that way? Or you got to go to a committee meeting and discuss it? Don't invite me. I'm not coming. I'll be busy on June 2nd. That's the way I roll. That's the way I roll. If the Holy Spirit says do it, what am I going to do? I'm just doing it. I don't need to discuss it. I just need to what? Be faithful. Be faithful. And just do it. Now, if there are like a half a mind of people that want to stay here on June 2nd, we got two more pastors. They'll be here. They can lead the service for you. Really. So do you live your life like when the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, do you need to sit around and just say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how. What if I can't do it? What if the whole thing just bombs? What? Wait a second. Did you just not hear Jesus said you can do what? All things. Does that not mean a revival on June 2nd? It surely does. All right, so let's turn our Bibles, please, to Colossians chapter 3, verse 15.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Ooh, I love that passage of Scripture. You know how much peace is in my heart, Pastor Ed? I'm full of peace, peace, peace. Full of it, peace. I really am. This is a good example. When he said to me, hey, you want to do a revival service on June 2nd? Yeah, sure, when? That was my thought process. Yeah, sure, when? Why? Because I have the peace of God that transcends what kind of understanding? All understanding. Is Jesus going to work it out? Yeah! All I got to do is what? Be used. I said to Glenn, you bring the message? Did I not say that to you? You bring the message, Glenn? I don't know. Well, figure it out. And so, does that how you live your life too? Or are you worried about the minutiae? I'm not. I'm worried about the King. Help me understand that. He can work it out. Does anybody live their life that way? How I get from A to B, if he sends me to B, I got news for you. If I'm willing and I'm obedient, guess where I'm going to be? B. I'm going to be at B because I'm willing. Does that make sense to anybody? Because he told me to. Now, you can go in a belly of a fish if you want to. He's got ways. If he says go to Nineveh, how many know you're going to Nineveh? I mean, you are going to Nineveh. You can go on a bus. You can go in the belly of a fish. You can go, you know, on your 2 feet, but you're going to Nineveh. If you don't, you will have no peace. Is that true? And so do you have the peace of God that transcends all of life's understandings? Do you live your life like that? Or are you counting on the peace of yourself? And how is that working out for you? How many rule, you know, with your peace that you give yourself? Well, if I'm at peace with me, then it must be okay. How's that working out? Really? I mean, are you at peace with yourselves 100% of the time, all the time? Who's at least sometimes not at peace with yourself? That's one of those questions, see? So therefore, at least at some part of your life, you're not at peace. Is that a fair statement? That's just a fair statement, right? There are some times you're not at peace because you're not at peace with yourself. True? Well, then at least some parts of your life, you're not very peaceful because you are counting on peace of yourself. That's not going to cut it. Who wants to be at peace 100% of the time? Well, then be at peace with who? Him. Not you. Him. Hey, if he wants you to walk around barefoot for 2 weeks, walk around barefoot. Who cares? Who cares? And so you have to decide for yourself, can I trust in him? The answer is obviously, yes. Can I be at peace as long as I have him in my heart? Yes. And that peace I have from him will transcend all of life's understandings. Yes. If you say to Glenn, sure. Now, I have so much faith in the Holy Spirit, but I said that before I checked with anybody else. I really did. Because we are of what? Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Read it again.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful.
Yep. Peace in my heart because we're called into what? One body. Don't you think I know enough about you, 200 people or so, that I know your hearts by now? Really? I mean, if I was at, some big mega church in Cranberry Township, 45,000 members or something, all in line at the Starbucks up there, I might not know all of your hearts, but I know all your hearts. And I know if we have a chance to do some evangelism, we're going. We're going. Because we're supposed to take the church where?
Out there.
How many understand that? We don't need to save some people in here. We need to take the saved people and do what? And if the Holy Spirit says, hey, there's an evangelism opportunity, guess what? I'm going. You can all sit here if you want. I'm going. Anybody going to go with me? I'm going. I'm going to go win some souls. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to do. And I know your hearts. And I know our job is to what? Win souls. That's our job. And whether we win them coming in this door or we go outside the door and go get them, we're going to go get them. Because Jesus Christ said he left the 99 and went out to go find the one that's lost. I'm going to go find one that's lost on that tractor. I'm going to go find one. Who's going to go there too? I'm just him. I'm just going to do it. And so peace of God as one body. The peace of God as one body. But Pastor Tom, you're so willy-nilly. Yeah. No, that's that group that was trying to sing. No, that's not willy-nilly. That's, what's the name? Bad damn guys. You had their CD, didn't you, Eddie? Colossians 4, 2.
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving.
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. I probably am one of those busy persons, right, Shauna? And you know why? Because I never say what? No. Nope. Don't. Mm-mm. If there's an opportunity to go out and share the gospel, I'm going. There's nothing that can get in the way. Nothing. And I'm thankful and blessed because Sissy has the same mindset as me. Right, Shauna? I'm blessed because we're in partnership together. We have an opportunity. We're going. We're going. Why? I'm not storing my treasures here. I'm storing my treasures where? There. And so you have to ask yourselves. There might even be some grumbling and murmuring in here this morning that I said, yes, I'm going on June the 2nd. There might be some mumbling and grumbling. Well, I can't believe he did that. Well, I call it a meeting. Well, who does he think he is? They're going to not call a meeting. I've been doing this a long time. Well, he didn't even call a meeting. Who's he? Well, it's working out for me all right so far. How's your lives? Right? It works for me. How's it working out for you? Really? When God calls you to do something, what should you do? Just do it. In fear and trembling. I learned quite a while ago when I left the denominational church that when I first started my ministry, I was more afraid of them than I was afraid of him. They'll get you. Yeah. They'll get you. Cut your pay. I am no longer afraid of you. I'm afraid of him. How many understand that? I'm afraid of him. What are you going to do to me? Really? Really? What? Anything that he could do to me? I don't think so. Anybody more afraid of him than you are of anybody else? Yeah. So, how do you work out your salvation? How do you do that? What do you do with that stuff that you're called to do? What do you do with that? I mean, what about the parable of the talent? So I know I'm going to, you know, I know. The parable of the talent. What if you put your talent and you hide it, what does God do with it?
Takes it away.
And gives it to who? The one that has the most. And you know why the one has the most has the most? Because the one that has the most who has the most, follow along, is doing the most. True? Anybody debate that?
Nope.
The one that has the most is the one that's what? Doing the most. Because the one that has the most who's doing the most continues to get it off of those who aren't doing anything. And what does God say? Hey, here's some. Oh, I'm greedy that way. Anybody wants some more from God? Truly? And so you have to live your lives that way. Next week, we're going to talk about the danger of arguments and whining and grumbling inside the church. Anybody want to hear that kind of stuff? What's the danger of that? And next week, we're going to get into that. What happens to the body of the church when you have that stuff that's going on inside it? And by the way, that doesn't just mean here in Blueberry Park. Where two or more are gathered, guess what you have? A church. That means in your house. That means where you work. That means where you shop. The danger of arguments. The danger of all that stuff. That's just not in this body of believers. That's in the body of what? Christ. And that's any believers. How many understand that? So I know none of you have arguments at home, so you probably don't have to keep a lot of notes, but maybe you should. I don't know. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to be called by you to work out our salvations with fear and trembling. Lord, we know the dangers of murmuring. We know the dangers, Lord, of not doing things with the most clean heart. So Lord, help us to learn to be more like disciples, to have that peace of God in us, that knowledge that we can do all things, that excitement, that joy of knowing that every day you get up, there's an opportunity to be used by the Lord. Oh, I can't think of a better reason to get up. So Lord, help us to be a church of doers. A church alive with your Holy Spirit to just work for you. Because one day we will give an account of all the many blessings you gave to us. We'll give an account for what we did with them in return. Lord, in your awesome name, we do pray these things. And all of God's people said,